A popular parlour game has been morphed into a live theatre experience that promises to exploit our fear of the unknown. Theatre collective Binge Culture has specialised in interactive productions over the years, finding willing audiences for them here and at the Edinburgh Fringe. The company's about to tour their latest show, Werewolf.
There are numerous new occurrences reported and verified. A full containment operation is now underway. Thank you for your cooperation so far. Everyone must now stay in place for the duration of the 7-day containment period. Stay alert. Be yourself.
With me now are Joel Baxendale, who's the director of Binge Culture, and Ralph Upton, the show's dramaturg. Kia ora koura, welcome to both of you. Joel, first of all the parlour games, what made Werewolf the one to turn into a live show?
Kia ora, Lynn. This is just a game that we really love playing anyway. I mean, I guess it's a... we've got a few friends who like to get together and play this game, and I think the thing that makes it stand out from some of the other ones is that you can really build a narrative around it, and so the bridge to theatre was quite short, I think. You really get immersed in the creating characters. You can, if you want, really take the whole game as far into a almost its own making its own show if you were playing it. And what we were trying to do is just take that experience and curate it a little bit more, I guess.
Yes, I'm just trying to picture a parlour game with actors. You could take it a long way indeed. What's the premise, basic premise of Werewolf, and how true to that premise is the game, is the show, I should say?
Sure, yeah. I guess the show takes its inspiration from the day and night phases of the game. So in the game, every night, the bad guys get to kill off some of the good guys. And then in the daytime phase, everyone's sort of looking around suspiciously, trying to figure out who the werewolves might be and, making accusations and ideally trying to pick off the werewolves before they get picked off themselves. So in the show, what we've done is we've taken those day and night phases, and bad things happen during the night, and the accusations happen during the day, and we're trying to encourage the audience to participate. And we also give them little cards similar to the game, but we've sort of changed things up a little bit just to sort of make it so that we can also run a cohesive show that has a narrative arc as well, I guess.
Ralph, as a dramaturg, given that I think usually perhaps you'd be given a script to go away and read and work on, because there's such a lot of interactivity and clearly every night is going to be entirely different depending on the audience coming along, how have you approached this in your role?
Yeah, well, we want the show to feel like a game that you're part of, and that it feels organic. So I think one of the things our company loves to do is improvise within really set structures, so we know like the shape of the show, but we love that feeling where you feel like the performer is making decisions in the moment and responding to things in the moment. So we map out what happens, but we also leave space for curveballs or for contributions to the audience. And I think what was exciting for us about this show was making something that feels maybe a bit closer to like an escape room experience or a haunted house experience, where it's a fun thing to do with your friends rather than necessarily just a show that you are observing.
And with the test audiences at a couple of productions you had of this last year, what reactions did they have? Were they as full on as you'd hoped for?
Yeah, I mean, we've, over the tests of the show that we've done, we've had to kind of learn what are the best prompts and information to give people so they can contribute in a way that feels fun, but also safe and like they're doing the right thing and that we are supporting them, even if we're pretending to argue with them. So that's one thing we've discovered. And we've also just loved, we've never made a scary show before, our company, and it's been just wonderful. Like, I like to sit backstage certain parts of the show and just listen to the sound of the screaming. There's nothing like pulling off a good jump scare or a good little moment of of horror, which we pepper through the show.
Screaming, eh? Very good, Joel. What's your advice to people to come to a show like this? I mean, if you're somebody who, for whom this is terrifying, the prospect of being in any way in the spotlight or involved, can they sit, I don't know, in the back row or in the middle of the row and simply watch?
I suppose one of the goals of the show, or of binge culture in general, really, is to make participatory works that you can participate as much or as little as you like. Obviously, in this show, there's going to be a minimum amount of participation, in that we're going to ask you to vote occasionally about who might we have to throw out of the space. But we also, with those prompts that Ralph was talking about, we're trying to leave enough scope so that people could take them a little bit further if they feel so inclined or so motivated, you know, they letting the performer come out of the audience, you know, let them, you know, give them that safe space to go a bit further than they would, and yeah, support them to be to perform a little bit.
I mean, I know this is the kind of theatre that Binge, you know, really quite early adapters for and really enjoy doing, but do you get a sense that this is maybe what the next generations of theatre goers really want to do? You know, that it's almost like being in a live video game, if you like, a different kind of experience to the traditional theatre?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that has become quite apparent. You know, you see it around the resurgence of board games, experiences where people can participate socially, not just sort of be passive, I think have become much more popular. I'm not quite sure why that is, but it does seem to be a bit of a feature of the times that we're in.
And Ralph, are you working on your next? Oh, sorry, Ralph, you go.
Oh, I'm just going to add just another example of that. Joel was recently in a show called Destination Mars. It's a puffer as a performer, which is quite a different kind of a show where the audience is, you know, sending a mission to Mars. He was one of the performers in that. And it's kind of a similar kind of thing that people, I think people are hungry for, like, experiences, things they can say they, you know, were part of, rather than just sort of just watched or watched on Netflix.
I imagine for actors too, this is going to absolutely suit some actors and not suit others, would you say?
Yeah, that's right. You've got to have that muscle of being able to listen and make space for the audience, but also know what beats you're going to hit and how you craft the set pieces in the show. So yeah, you need to be able to remain present in the moment, but also know where you're going, which is, yeah, I'm kind of in awe of the performers. I think they do a wonderful job on the show, being able to walk that line and feeling like the show could go anywhere when, you know, it's going to a particular place.
Joel, you're about to head out on tour, and we're at Standing Room Only hearing more and more of touring shows now, now that the landscape feels a little bit more settled. You know, we know where we're heading with the settings, etc. But it's still a big undertaking, isn't it, for any touring show at the moment?
Oh yeah, it's huge. I mean, we were very excited to be back on, back performing again, but obviously that does come with a little bit of trepidation as well. But we've put a few extra things in place. You know, if we need to lock down, if we need to isolate while we're on tour for some, you know, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. But you know, we've made sort of some contingencies for that. But I think, yeah, everyone is very hungry to see some live performance again, and the bookings have been going really well. So I think that shows that. So yeah, I think we're just going to take it one day at a time. Hopefully, it all goes smoothly. But we've got some contingencies in place just in case they don't.
Well, wish you lots of screaming, since that's what you're after in this production. Joel Baxendale and Ralph Upton from Binge Culture. Ngā mihi nui, thanks so much. The Werewolf Tour starts in Nelson on the 6th of May.